me down by the jetty landing, where the pontoons bump and spray. See the others reading, standing, as the manly ferry cuts its way to Circular Quay. I hear the captain blow his whistle. So long she's been away. Very happy way to start the day. She don't like that kind of behavior. She don't like that kind of behavior. So throw down your guns, don't be so reckless. Your guns, don't be so like Scots of the Antarctic, base camp too far away. A Russian sun beneath the Arctic, Birkin whales and camels, initials in the tree. She don't like that kind of behavior. She don't like that kind of behavior. So throw down your guns, don't be so reckless. Throw down your guns, don't be so reckless. Throw down your guns, don't be so reckless. Throw down your guns, don't be so reckless.
That was fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. That's the epic sounds of Clint White, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Clint?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me around.
Absolutely, and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. I am Goff, and of course, as I just mentioned, Clint White is this week's special guest. Australian Crawl Reckless, any particular reason why we went with that track?
I figured that if in Australia, when you go to the pantry, you pick up a jar of Vegemite, that's so Australian. So I thought, well, as far as music, Australian music goes, this is like the Vegemite of Australian songs, isn't it?
Fair call. I like it. Now, how long have you been doing this? How long's the guitar and you been attached?
Well, when I was about 42 now, so I think it was when I was about 12, I picked it up, and Mum gave me some lessons and everything, and I hated it, and it was boring, and so the guitar stayed under the bed or in the cupboard, and the guitar's had a story too. We got broken into, and that got broken, but I picked it up because I saw a fella at school, and he was playing, and I was just like, I should really try and learn. And from about 17 or 18, I started playing again and didn't look back after that. I just learned everything by ear and just, yeah.
And that's an interesting point. Do you have a really good ear? So, like, I mean, if you hear a track, I mean, because obviously you make a living playing covers in bars and pubs and whatnot. Yeah. If you hear a track on the radio and you're like, oh, man, that's a really good song, are you pretty good at being able to pick that up and learn it pretty easily?
It's definitely my strongest point, I think. Yeah. If you look at my ear holes, I've got big ear holes, so maybe that's the – genetically I'm designed to listen to stuff and play it. But, yeah, I've got a bit of a knack for it, but yeah, definitely better than my theory. My theory's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, and you said to me before we started recording, I hope I don't forget the lyrics. So the melody comes to you pretty easy, but it's the lyrics that are the problem.
It's always the lyrics. Yeah, yeah. Usually, what I'll do is I'll run over the lyrics of the song. I'll usually learn stuff off YouTube, and then when I've got the lyric, the chords down, I'll just print out the lyrics, and that's kind of it. Yeah, I might have to revisit it if I'm like, that doesn't sound quite right. But, yeah.
And I was having a chat to you the other day, and one thing that I found really interesting, and I'd like you to chat about it, is you said to me, because I said, you know, come on my podcast, and you're like, yeah, sounds good. And I said, you can play a couple of originals. And you're like, I don't really have any. And I'm just curious as to why you've never gone about writing some originals or going down that sort of track, why you've stuck with the covers.
Well, when I was first getting into music, I was in actually an original band. I didn't write the songs. I wrote my own parts to the songs, but it was mainly this other fella and his band. So I played in that band for 4 or 5 years, and then I went to trade school, and on the wall there was notice for a cover band guitarist, and I'd been learning lots of covers, obviously, as you do. So I got into that, and we played in, this is Melbourne, for about 15 years, and between working in a trade and doing that, I just didn't have time, maybe, I guess. I did write a couple of originals early on, but, you know, I forgot about them because I didn't like them anyway. And so I've been stuck in the covers vortex for, yeah, a long time now.
But you love it? Is that what you really enjoy?
I do like it, yeah. You're saying you can't believe I don't have any originals. I can't believe I haven't got any originals either. I really should, actually, you know, sit down and, you know, my wife always says, you know, what's that? And I'm like, oh, I'm just messing around. So I've got a lot of stuff down on my phone that I've...
So you got it in you, you just haven't...
I think so.
So the moral to the story is that Clint is just lazy. Yeah. Is that
probably,
essentially...
Probably, yeah. And it's also probably my own fear that I was never a good English student or writing or reading or anything like that. So I think if I was to write some lyrics out, I could write the music, and if I put the lyrics down, I'm like, this is like a two-year-old's lyrics. But maybe that fits in with today's climate of music, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's a bit of social commentary right there. Do you want to expand on that there, Clint? You're not a big fan of the...
I think that's why I like the old stuff, you know. You know, you get a lot of good artists these days that still write some clever lyrics and stuff. But
don't try and back it up now, buddy. It's on the record.
Yeah, no. There's still a lot of good stuff out there. Well, I just want to make sure I do that too.
Well, that sort of leads me into my next point is when I've heard you play before, you have a massive variety of tracks. Yeah, you know, it seems like, you know, it doesn't matter what the punter needs, you know, if they want some Neil Young or some, you know, Bob Dylan, you can do that. Or if the really modern stuff, you can do it. I mean, you've got
Baby Shark.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You've got a really wide variety. Is that something you work on, or do you just like all, are you an umbrella of music? You just really enjoy all kinds, or?
Well, I do enjoy all kinds, but as it being a job, you know, I always like to, and what I do is I watch the people as they come through the door. And if I see, you know, I don't want to stereotype anyone, but I do try.
Mate, stereotypes are there for a reason.
Yeah. Well, if I see like an older some older crowd coming through, I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe Bob Dylan or something like that. But if, you know, there's kids around, then Baby Shark. So, yeah, I do try and learn a big scope of age bracket kind of appropriate stuff just for that reason, yeah.
That's cool. Well, tell us a bit more about your musical taste. Like, what do you enjoy? Like, if you're at home on a Sunday night just chilling out, what do you want to put on? What do you want to listen to?
To listen to? Here's where I say I don't really listen to a lot of music.
You're like the worst artist ever.
I am.
You don't write nothing. You don't listen to nothing.
Nah, just play the covers. that's not true, I guess. I love John Mayer. I love I don't mind. Like even like Tool or, you know, Crowded House is one of my favourites too. It just depends on my mood, I guess. I'm not too much into hip hop, I guess. I do like The Weeknd, you know. That's probably, something a bit left of.
Well, one thing that I've always wondered about you guys who play in bars and clubs and whatnot, and I've never actually asked anybody, but I'm curious as to, because my background when I was a younger man, I did stand-up comedy for a living. And, of course, when you're on stage doing comedy, it's all about me. I want everybody to listen to me. I don't want people talking. I don't want people eating food. I want them listening to me because it's a comedy. You know, that's
exactly,
you want them to listen to the jokes. You want them to laugh. That's my goal. Mm. Now, my question is, obviously, you're in the bar busting out your tracks.
Yeah.
Now, 90% of the people, if not more, are talking to their mates, they're drinking beers. Mm. You know, how do you not get crushed by the fact that sometimes nobody cares?
Well, actually, some of the hardest gigs you play is actually in like places where they have pokies, and the venue needs to spend on entertainment. So sometimes you're playing to like clanking, dingling sort of poking machines and stuff. But then you're at House of Brews one day and there's one person that's there that's listening and having a good time. His name's Goff. And no, even if there's just one person there that's you know, gives you the thumbs up or asks you to play something for it, you know, that's what sort of keeps me sort of grounded, I guess, where you just, you know, one person's enjoying it, that's enough for me.
Yeah. But that's cool.
It's
man.
A job, you know. Yeah, if I was playing originals and no one was doing anything, that'd be a bit heartbreaking.
Well, that's a good point. That would really crush you. Whereas you're playing covers, you're just chilling out. If they want to listen, they can. If they don't, they can too. Is that sort of your attitude towards it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not worried. It's, you know, they're there maybe for a meal or they're just there for a few beers or something. And I'm the background music most of the time anyway.
So you don't take it personally at all.
Not at all. No, I kind of. If it's a really busy night, I like it because, you know, people are getting into it. If it's a real quiet night, I get to hear myself. So I get the personal kind of, you know, my own show for me.
Well, that's a nice way to think about it, I must say. So that's very cool, man. Very cool indeed. And what, where can people find you? Are you on social? Do you play much on social media? Like, tell us about where people can listen to you.
I don't record a lot of stuff on social media. I think I've only got about 20-30 followers or something on Instagram. So I'm not super popular or anything. It's probably my fault because I don't know how to, I should get a lesson from my brother and sister-in-law because they've got heaps. But I don't do a lot of that, but I've got Clint White Solo Covers. That's my Instagram. And if you look the same thing up on Facebook, I'm there too. And I just make posts and it's more of a platform for people to, you know, if they say, where can I show someone that, you know, what you do, you know, that's where it is.
I'm curious to know, what motivates you, man? What keeps you going? Because, I mean, I really enjoy listening to you play and I really enjoy going out to bars and listening to different artists. I refuse to go to a bar that doesn't have live music. It's my own personal rule. I just enjoy listening to live music. But what keeps you going? What keeps you going back for more?
I think I was telling you that it's the best job in the world, really. You get to play music and a lot of people could only dream of that. And so years ago, I was a fitter and turner by trade and I was doing that, like I was saying, with the covers. And then we moved from Melbourne up to Queensland and I did it up here for a while and then I went and studied. And I've never found anything that's more fun and better to do that I enjoy, you know. And it is a little bit, you know, my wife works during the day and I work on the weekends at night. So it's a little bit like that, but I can't really find a more fun way to earn money. And for me, life's got to be enjoyable.
No,
it wasn't in the past. So I'm like, I'm never going back to that. I can earn as much money as I did, you know, in the past. So doing this now. So it's just a no-brainer, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And you get fulfillment out of it. You get enjoyment. And you get paid while you're doing it. What could possibly be bad about that?
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah.
And what would you say to people out there who are thinking, you know, so, you know, they're in their 20s or 30s or even in their 70s, I don't think that's really my demographic, but you never just know, that are thinking of, you know, taking up the guitar or learning a musical instrument, what would be your advice to them?
Well, I can tell them what helped me. It was when I went to lessons, I learnt chords and scales and I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know how to apply it. And so it was boring, like I said, you know. So whenever anyone asked, you know, how do you stay motivated on guitar? It's like you pick your favourite albums, maybe pick the simpler songs first and just learn a few chords that go to those songs. And then the sooner you can get to play the songs you love, the more it'll hook you in because, you know, and then once you've learnt that song, you can always move on to another one. And as long as you're, you know, refreshing your repertoire, not like me. It's self-motivating really when you think about it because you're playing the stuff you love and you know. Yeah.
Very cool. Now, you're going to finish up for us with firstly, before you do, I should probably tell people beernutsproductions.com.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's where people need to go to get all their entertainment needs, the old Beer Nuts Productions website. And obviously, like and subscribe to the podcast and all that good stuff. Leave a friendly review. That's always nice. And thank you so much again for listening. And thank you so much, Clint, for coming in.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me in. It was when I saw you come in the second time, I was like, oh, he's back for more. And I thought, well, I have to have a chat with Goff.
Absolutely. Now, you're gonna finish up today with a Crowded House tune. Is that correct?
Yeah, Crowded House. I do like most of their stuff And you sent me one, and I did like that. It was a Paul Hester song, actually.
Yeah, Italian Plastic, yeah.
Yeah, this one is probably not one that most people play, but it's also one of my favourites, and I think it just works well on the guitar, and I think I do it okay.
You got to talk yourself up, yeah. Man. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I think I'm average. I'm, you know,
I play this better than Neil Finn. There you That's go. What you need to
yeah.
be saying.
Yeah.
He's a hack compared
maybe
to me.
Finn, maybe not Tim Finn. I don't know. No, probably better than Tim, not better than Neil. Don't listen. Don't hope they're not listening.
Well, they're avid listeners. Yeah. They love my work. Yeah. So Distant Sun, is that
Distant
correct?
Distant Sun, yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen, take it away, Clint. Thanks.
All the things you would change. Don't pretend to know what you want. When you come around and spin my top, time and again, time and again. The fire where I lit my spark. I am not afraid of the dark. When your words devour my heart, put me to shame. Put me to shame. When your seven worlds collide, whenever I'm by your side, and dust from a distant sun shower over everyone. Still so young to travel so far, old enough to know who you are, wise enough to carry the scars without any blame. There's no one to blame. It's easy to forget what you learned, waiting for the thrill to return, feeling your desire burn and drawn to the flame. When your seven worlds collide, whenever I'm by your side, and dust from a distant sun shower over everyone. Dust from a distant sun shower over everyone. I'm lying on the table, washed out in the flood, like a Christian seeking vengeance from above. I don't pretend to know what you want. Seven worlds will collide whenever I'm by your side. Dust from a distant sun shower over everyone. Dust from a distant sun shower over everyone.